Okay, so this is the last time, I guess, that we'll be able to learn together before Shavuos. I just wanted to try to give a little bit words of inspiration, something to latch on to. The Pasuk, when it talks about Maimed Har Sinai, the Pasuk says in Parshas Yisro, Perek Yutes Pasuk Tezayin, Vayi Bayom HaShlishi Biyos HaBokir, Vayi Kolos Ubrokim Va'anan Kaved Al HaHar. So, right, there's going to be this thunder and lightning show. There's a thunder and lightning show, and everybody was scared. Vayacharad kol ha'amasher b'machana. Vayotzei Moshe sam l'kras ha'lokim min ha'machana v'yisatzu b'tachas ha'har. They stand at the bottom of the mountain, and then the pasuk says, v'har sinai ashan kulo m'pnei asher yorad alav Hashem ba'esh, because Hashem came down in a fire. So I once saw a vort from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik.
Yoshi
Adon
and Shira, please come to the office now. Thank you.
There are two Rav Moshe Soloveitchiks. There's Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who was the son of Rav Chaim and the father of Rav Soloveitchik from YU. But there's also Rav Moshe Soloveitchik from Zurich, who I think was a cousin somehow, also a big Adam Gadol, big Lamdan. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik from Zurich said a vort. He said, I don't understand. It said that thunder and lightning were going to come down. And then they come to the mountain, and there's fire on the mountain. I would assume, you know, I guess the lightning came down and then caught on or whatever it was, and now you have a fire. However you understand what actually happened, but the idea that he said was that inspiration, when we hear something that inspires us, it's a bolt of lightning. It's like a flash that lightens our path, right? It illuminates our path, but then it's gone. Now, how do you hold on to that bolt of lightning? Well, if that bolt of lightning hit something and then it caught fire, so now the fire is sustainable, right? If it caught fire in a patch of grass, it could catch onto other things, catch onto a tree, etc. So obviously that would be in a destructive way. But as a metaphor for inspiration, a bolt of lightning, so they came and there was a bolt of lightning, but the bolt of lightning was not meant to just be a one-moment thing. The Maimed Har Sinai, when we received the Torah, was supposed to illuminate the way for the Jewish people forever. So it was one moment of lightning, but it was supposed to keep us going forever. It had to be on fire. And that's how we have to be. We have to be on fire. So when we have our moments of inspiration, if we walk away and we say, that was great, so what did we do about it? You know, Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz said about the Shifcha, at Kriyas Yamsuf, the maidservant, the Chazal say that the maidservant saw what Yechezkel Ben Buzi saw. More than what Yechezkel Ben Buzi saw. So, you have a maidservant, and she has a greater prophecy, level of prophecy for that moment than the Navi Yechezkel, who saw the Mara, the Maisa Merkava, which is the deepest thing that we can't understand. And yet, he says, and yet she, what's in Yiddish, she blibed the Shivcha, she remained a maidservant. She had a moment, and she didn't grow from that moment. She didn't grow from that moment. From that moment, she stayed, she was inspired for a moment, and then she went back to who she was. When we have moments of inspiration, we can't let it fall by the wayside. We have to take advantage, and we have to capitalize on it. Shavuos is the yontif where we receive the Torah. It marks our connection to the Torah, our commitment to Torah. You guys know that I feel very strongly that Torah is not a subject. Torah is our lives. It's our lifeline. It's our very existence. So there's a pasuk in Megillas Rus. I'm just going to read a pasuk and a Rashi. Like I like to do something, you just read a Rashi. You don't need any like brilliant vort explanation. The pasuk says, talking about in Perek Gimel Pasuk Zayin, Vayochal Boaz Vayesht. Boaz ate and he drank. Vayitav Libo. What does it mean, vayitav libo? And he did good for his heart. Whatever, what does it mean, vayitav libo? He did good, whatever it was good for his heart. Vayavo lishkav, and then he went to lie down. Okay. What is vayitav libo? So vayochal and vayesh, we know he ate and he drank. What does vayitav libo mean, says Rashi, two words? Asak batorah. What is tov lev? What is good for us? What's the good? Asak batorah. He sat and he learned Torah. That's what Boaz did. Boaz was the Gadol Ador. He was so. We should just realize this is the best thing for us. I want to share with you an insight from Rav Shimon Shkup. Rav Shimon Shkup was the Rosh Hashiva in Grodno, which actually made its way to America, is now a yeshiva in Queens called Sha'ar HaTorah, which was the name of the yeshiva back then. Rav Shimon Shkup wrote a sefer called Sha'arei Yosher, which is seven volumes of marachos, of essays, long essays, on different areas of halacha, on rov and chazaka and kinyanim and things like that. There's a couple of other svarim published of his shiurim. He was one of the Gedolei Rosh Yeshiva. He passed away a few weeks apart from Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich. So he was one of the Gedolei Hador in pre-war Europe. So Reb Shimon, in the introduction to Sha'arei Yosher, he writes, Ulereshes ha'achshara lezeh she'aroi l'kinyan ha'Torah, ha'tzricham Torah t'noi mi'yichadim. Ha'tzricha Torah t'noi mi'yichadim. So when we prepare ourselves to receive the Torah, this is in his introduction to Sha'arei Yosher, he says there are obviously specific conditions that are required. U'tanai harishon hu ha'amel v'ha'yigia. The first and foremost is working hard and toiling. The best things in life, the ones that you appreciate, they come from hard work. They come against all odds. If you look at, let's say you take any championship that was won by a team. The most memorable and the most significant ones are the ones that were the most improbable, where they just kind of like, I mean, just comes to mind, the 1980 U.S. team against the Russians. They didn't have a chance. That's why it goes down in history as one of the greatest victories of all time, one of the most dramatic sports moments of all time. Because the team, when you have the best team winning the game, like, it's like, who cares? You know? It's like, wow, they won. They were the best team. They should have won. If they didn't win, it's a problem. But it doesn't create for one of the greatest moments in sports history. You have to overcome. You have to be great. And that's what Torah is. You have to amel. Amel is when it's hard. It's when it's tedious. You know, the Yetzer Hara tries to get you. Yetzer Hara tries to get you and say, no, this is not amel. This is tedious. Learning this Rashi, it's technical. You know, but that's part of the amel. It's when something is maybe not interesting to you. You didn't enjoy that shot in the Rashi. Those are the Rashis that are going to make you great. The Shakla Vitaria, sometimes it's glot. It's very easy and straightforward, and it's enjoyable. And what about when it's hard to understand? That's when it's the best. Omel v'yigia. K'mo shadarshu chazal imuchukos ha'telechu. That was last week's parsha. Shetiu ha'melem v'torah. U'shar inyonam hajushum l'kinyan ha'torah. Okay. V'efshar l'bar al pizeh. So says Reb Shimon, we can explain, according to this, inyan shviras haluchos. The breaking of the luchos. Shalo reisi bir inyan ze. He says, I never saw. What's pshat? What's pshat? Think about it. Shaba hashkafa rishona hu inyan sasum. At first glance, hashkafa rishona. It's inyan sasum. It's a closed matter. It seems strange. Why does it seem strange? Hayi tochin she Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom haya choshev. Did you think Moshe Rabbeinu thought? Sheba shvil she'asu Yisrael sa'egel. Yisharu b'li torachas v'shalom. Okay, they worship the eagle. Great, let's break the luchos, and now they don't have anything. Great. No, hello, those are the guys that need the luchos. They're the ones that need the Torah. Oh, you worship the idol? Now you need to know. You're not allowed to anochi Hashem alokecha. You're going to smash the luchos? You're like going along with what they're doing. Great, no more Torah? We have the eagle. Yisharu b'li, how could that be? Adarabba, he should have waited until they finished what they were doing and then came down and said, guys, you know, what you just did is wrong and I'll prove it to you. See, I'm holding the luchos. You know what it says on the luchos? Lo yelecha Elohim acherim. You can't have other gods. You can't worship the idol. But instead he breaks it. It's counterintuitive. Why would he break it? So Rav Shimon says an unbelievable shot. Okay, so he should have waited for them. But not to break them completely. And then he'd have to go beg Hashem for a second set of luchos. Like, why would you do that? What would that accomplish? V'hine, says Reb Shimon, a beautiful pshat. Chazal kiblu, chazal received. Shesegula miyuchedes haisa beluchos arishonos. There was something really special about the luchos arishonos. What was unique about the luchos arishonos? So, on a simple level, what was unique about it? What was different about the first and second luchos? Hashem made it, right? Da'aminu b'gemara Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says, Ma'idich siv charos al haluchos, carved on the luchos. The Gemara says, El molay lo nishtabru haluchos rishonos. If the first luchos were never broken, lo nishtakcha Torah mi'Yisrael. Torah would never be lost from the Jewish people. So that sounds like it's a bad thing. Right? Hainu. Shahaisa segula bahem. She'im lamad adam pamechas. You learn something once. Hayashamar b'zichrono la'olam. You would remember it forever. You learn a pasuk, you never come back to that pasuk. It is etched in your memory forever. If we only had the Luchos Rishonos, etched in your memory forever. The inyan zeh hirgish Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that there was a problem here. Sha'alu la'idei zeh lios chilol hakodesh norah ma'od. Massive chilol Hashem. What's the chilol Hashem? She'efsher she'izdamin. She'yihye ish mushchas. A disgusting, repulsive person. I don't mean ugly. I mean ugly in his actions. A mushchas. Umagul b'masim ram. And he's full of bad deeds. Baki b'chol chadrei Torah. And this guy knows kol haTorah kuli. You know why? Because he read it once. V'lamad Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom kal v'chomer mikarben Pesach. Shamar Torah kol ben nechar lo yochabo. A ben nechar, a foreigner, is not invited to the Korban Pesach. V'lachein matzah Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom sh'royo sh'luchos elu yishtabru u'lishtadu l'kab luchos achim. This is a dangerous set of luchos. Yeah, it's powerful, but it comes with a problem. The problem is, if it gets into the wrong hands, it's very strong. You know, there's this old legend, when it's like the hand of Midas or something. It's like in mythology, I don't know, that everything you touch turns to gold. So you think, oh, it's a great thing, right? Until you touch a person, and then they're frozen as gold, right? And all of a sudden you're like, wait, this is not great. If this gets into the wrong hands, pun intended, then you're in trouble, right? That's the idea of this thing. But it's the same thing with the Torah. Can you imagine the first luchos? You wouldn't forget anything. Never forget anything. You'll learn one pasuk, you'll learn a shakla v'tari of the Gemara, you'll learn a Mishnah, you'll learn a halacha in the Rambam, and you're good to go. You never have to repeat it. I mean, it would make competitions very different, right? Torah Bowl and Chidon would be very different if when you first learn the pasuk, you never forget it. So that, you know, I guess it would change the landscape of Torah learning. But even though you think about, wow, that would be great, it wouldn't be great, says Rabbi Shimon. Dehainu dehaluchos harishonim hayumase elokim kamo guf haksav kamo shemeforsh b'Torah. Everything was very crystal clear because it was Maisa Hashem. It was Michtav Hashem. Vehaluchos haachronim hayumase idei adam kamo shkasav psal lecha shnei luchos avanim karishonim. Carve for yourself, psal lecha. You have to do it, Moshe Rabbeinu. The luchos shnios are going to be yours. Ve'inin haluchos u'davar hamamidu makayim shol yu osos porchos ba'avir. V'kem shayim ma'isa Hashem haya omed la'ad. Aval shnios shayim ma'isa adam eno miskayimin rak betunayim u'gidarim. But when a man makes it, now there are guidelines, there are rules. It's not just a free-for-all. U'tchilas kabal satara de Moshe Rabbeinu. Alav shalom haysa demus va'os l'chol b'nei Yisrael makablei ha'torah. Every person has to carve his own place in Torah. To write the word of Hashem. However you prepare your luchos, that is how you will be able to receive the Torah for yourself. Everybody has your own set of luchos. You got it? Your own set of luchos. So if it's all chipped, the luchos are going to come out fuzzy. If you drop it, if you let go of your Torah, it's going to smash. You're going to lose it all. You're going to have to glue it back together. You have your own set of luchos. You carved your own luchos, and it's yours to do with as you wish. Of course, if you keep it pure and clean, it'll be clear and it'll be easy. But if you make it dirty, you're gonna lose it. Okay. He goes on. I want to just pull out the idea that I want. That's what Reb Shimon's pshat. Reb Shimon says, why, and by the way, the last Rashi in Chumash, Yasha kochecha sheshibarta, ulechol yad chazaka, right? One of the end of Chumash, the last pasuk, the last few pesukim over there, Hashem says, Chazal say that Hashem said to Moshe, that he broke the luchos, Yasha kochecha sheshibarta. Shkoyach, for breaking the luchos. Now it seems like a funny thing. Why would he say shkoyach for breaking the luchos? The answer is he saved Torah for the Jewish people. Because if Torah would have gotten into the wrong hands, it could have been used in a bad way. But now, the only way to get Torah is to create your own, to carve your own, to work at your own. You would have remembered everything, but now guess what? You have to work at remembering it. You have to do chazara. You have to review. I want to tell you, true amel is reviewing it again and again and again. Of course, first you have to learn it and make sure you have the correct pshat. If you review the wrong pshat, you're in trouble. Well, I had a teacher in Azrieli who used to say, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. If you're practicing your free throws the wrong way, then you will permanently have bad form. Right? You have to practice it the right way, and then you'll get it ingrained in you, the right, the way to bend your knees and shoot the ball or whatever it is. But practice makes permanent. You have to get pshat correct, and then you have to review and review and review. And that's amel, because that's hard. We don't see the fruits of our labors when we work. Over one idea, one daf, one sugya, again and again and again. We see accomplishment when we rip through, when we go perek after perek, daf after daf, sugya after sugya, and all of a sudden we say, wow, look at how much we accomplished. Because if you learn one sugya the whole year, and I'm not telling you to learn one sugya the whole year, but we'll get to that. But you have to understand, learning it again and learning it again, that's what's going to stay with you. That's amel, that's hard work. That's what we have to realize. And that was the reason Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos. Because he didn't want it to get into the wrong hands. But what it means for us is, the fact that we have a second set of luchos means that we have to do chazara. That we have to work hard. And that's the difference between the first and second set of luchos. Now that we have two sets of luchos, we have to do chazara. I want to read for you a story about chazara that recently happened. And to me, this is mind-boggling. Who doesn't want to be happy at work? This is from Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, who is a Rav in Boca Raton. This is it's called 101% guaranteed to change your life. Who doesn't want to be happier at work? New research concludes that greater happiness and satisfaction at work doesn't come from more vacation days, additional downtime, or even more perks. This study found that the best way to ensure that you're happy at your job is to spend more time learning. Among the 2,049 workers surveyed, including freelancers and entrepreneurs in the United States, United Kingdom, Sweden, Iceland, Denmark, Finland, Norway, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Germany, France, Australia, India, Singapore, and Hong Kong, those who were heavy learners, devoting more than 5 hours a week to things like reading, taking classes, and watching online courses, not Jews, so this is not talking about, right, but just learning, reported being happier, less stressed, more productive, and more confident than those who spent less time learning. Science is now only catching up to what our Torah knew all along. Learning, studying, and attending shiurim have been our core values since the Torah was first given thousands of years ago. We are not just the rabbis or teachers of the book, but we are the people of the book, a people devoted to continued education and lifelong learning. The pasuk says, "V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla," toil in Torah day and night. We are mandated to be a community of heavy learners, finding time each and every day to study. Doing so not only helps us gain knowledge and improve ourselves, but it turns out also guarantees to make us happier, more satisfied, more confident, and more productive. A few months ago, our base medrash of BRS, that's Boca Raton Synagogue, organized a trip to New York to expand our exposure to Torah leaders and gain inspiration for continued learning. Over the course of our 2 days, we visited several yeshivas and met with extraordinary Talmidei Chachamim, including Rev. Naftali Yeager, Rev. Yonason Sachs, Rev. Baruch Simon, Rev. Yaakov Glasser, Rev. Moshe Weinberger, Rev. Ephraim Waxman, the Skver Rebbe, Rev. Y.Y. Jacobson, Rev. Tzvi Sabalovsky, Rabbi Mordechai Willig, Rev. Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, and Rabbi Avram Shor. After a quick stop at the Rebbe's Ohel, our group returned to Boca on fire, inspired and passionately committed to not letting a day go by without learning Torah. Each Rav shared Divrei Torah and graciously engaged us in questions and answers. Many of the messages overlapped, though each one brought their own distinct approach to Torah and Torah way of life. While every Rav offered ideas that were transformational, Rav Avram Shor, Rav of Congregation Nezer Gedaliahu in Brooklyn, not only gave us inspiration, he sent us back with homework. The Gemara in Chagiga states, Avdo v'lo avdo, avado v'lo avado, an Eved Hashem and not an Eved Hashem, tarvayo tzadikei gemuri. The Gemara is trying to figure out what it means, what's the difference between an Eved Hashem and a non-Eved Hashem. An Eved Hashem, the Gemara says, the conclusion is, really, they're both tzadikim. Why is one called an Eved Hashem?
Eden, Yoshi, and Shira, please come to Mrs. Bobo's office now. Thank you.
What's the difference between an Eved Hashem and a non-Eved Hashem? Eino doma shona pirko lemea pam lashona mea pirko ve'ech mea pam ve'echad. The difference is that a person reviews his learning 100 times is not in the same league as somebody who reviewed his learning 101 times. That's the difference. In order to qualify as a true Eved Hashem, one who serves Hashem, you must be willing to study a Torah text not just 100 times, but to review it 101 times. Said Rav Shor, if the Gemara promises that reviewing 101 times is the key of being an Eved Hashem, it must be true. He therefore turned to our group and challenged us to take one blot, one page of Gemara, and learn it each day for 101 days straight. Don't skip and don't get bored with that one text. Never miss a day, he enthusiastically charged, explaining, the first 30 days will take a long time. By the 40th and 50th time, it'll take 50 minutes, 15 minutes. By the 90th time, you will walk on the street and recite the page by heart. He told us of a Jew he knew who had recently passed away, who, in addition to his other learning, reviewed the same Torah material for 40 years in a row, every single day. The man suggested that when the Gemara tells us that we will be challenged in the heavenly court, Kavata Itim LaTorah, did we establish set times for learning Torah? It means that did we learn the same thing in the same place at the same time each and every day. Achieving the level of kvius, consistency and constancy, will transform a person and mold them into a true Eved Hashem. Rav Shor concluded by saying, take the first page of Maseches Brachos and learn it for the next 101 days in a row. Never miss a day. I'll tell you what you'll do afterwards. You won't stop. Honestly, I knew our group was moved, but I didn't think anybody would take him up on it. 101 days is a long time to not miss. This was a group of doctors, lawyers, and businessmen with busy lives, juggling family responsibilities, professional obligations, leaving very little discretionary time. Maybe they had time to learn a little bit each day, but would anyone really take on this challenge, reviewing the same page of Gemara 101 days in a row? The 101st day after our fly-in trip fell out on Lag BaOmer just a few weeks ago. Our group held a barbecue reunion. We ate, sang, and shared memories of the trip. But what happened next literally brought tears to my eyes. One of the members of our group had made laminated copies of Daft Beis, the first page of Maseches Brachos, and gave it out to the group when we returned from the trip. Now on Lag BaOmer, a day dedicated to celebrating the survival and continuation of Torah Shebaal Peh, the group went around reciting the page of Gemara. Though only one person at a time had the actual page in front of them, several others who were celebrating their 101st consecutive day with this daf, recited it in unison by heart. One of the people from the group who had completed the challenge said that his goal at the outset was by day 40 to be able to learn the page without using the art scroll. He did it. And by day 101, he was literally reciting the page, a full page of Gemara, two sides, by heart. It was an absolutely inspiring and breathtaking thing to see. Another member of the group described that at times in life, a person can feel lonely. But ever since he had mastered one page of Talmud, he feels he is never alone, because Brachos Daf Beis has become his friend and accompanies him wherever he goes. No doubt the person who said this is special, but he isn't a Rosh Yeshiva, a Gadol Hador. He's a professional, a quote-unquote regular guy, someone we would consider among the Balabatim in our community. Yet that daily commitment to study and the acquiring of a real ownership of one page of Talmud transformed his relationship with Torah learning, with Hashem, and even to a degree with himself. And it can, for you too. I would have expected the group to say, that was an interesting experiment. Feel proud and accomplished for having succeeded and move on. But Rav Avraham Shor was 101% correct. He said, I'll tell you what you'll do afterwards. You won't stop. And he was right. Some in the group have continued on to Brachos Daf Gimel and started a new count. Others have taken on Masechta Shabbos Daf Beis. That's the second Masechta. But in the end, all those who had finished the assignment just wanted to continue one day or another. As we celebrate Shavuos, a day that doesn't commemorate the Torah being given thousands of years ago, but a day on which we each stand at Har Sinai again. Each of us are going back to Har Sinai to receive the Torah anew. We must ask ourselves, do we want to be happy? Do we want to be productive? And do we want to be less stressed? It's time for us to become heavy learners, setting aside time each day to study, grow, and improve. Find something that interests you, learn it, and take the time to review it again and again. I'll tell you what you'll do afterwards. You won't stop. I want to leave you with two things. first a story, and then some homework. Now you guys are nervous, right? I'll tell you the story. The story I think I've told you before. There was a childhood friend of the Vilna Gaon. He came to the Vilna Gaon when the Vilna Gaon was already the Gadol Hador. And this was a good guy. He was a good guy in yeshiva, this friend. And he sees the Vilna Gaon many years later. And he comes to the Vilna Gaon and he says, Gadol Hador, we used to sit next to each other in class. How did you become the Vilna Gaon? And I just became Yankel, the shoemaker. Whatever it was, I'm a good guy. I was never Mechal Shabbos. I never ate non-kosher. I learn every day. How did you become the Vilna Gaon? And I just got regular guy. So the Vilna Gaon said, you remember we learned that Gemara and Chagiga, that there's a world of difference between somebody who reviews 100 times and 101 times. Did you believe it? The guy looked at him. Says it in the Gemara. Of course, it has to be true. Of course I believe it. He said, that's the difference between me and you. I didn't believe it. I had to try it out for myself to make sure that it was. That's what the Vilna Gaon was. Reviewing things. I'm sure he reviewed more than 101. But he was serious. That's how it is. You know, when I first read this, I thought to myself, I'm speaking to a group of middle school students. We're learning our own things. But the truth is we're not. Because today was the last day of class. We have finals for a week and a half. And then we have 2.5 months off. Mm-hmm. I didn't calculate and get a chance to go to the calendar. We probably have roughly 101 days. Right? I mean, today is June 6th. September, we have 3 months, about 90 days. Each of you has homework. If you're here now, we have to figure out when 101 days is. Pick something. It could be a perek in Tanakh. It could be a perek in Chumash. It could be a perek in Mishnah or a daf Gemara. An Amud Gemara. Let's do an Amud. Start over Shavuos. Whatever the learning is, something that you could learn over the course of Shavuos. So if it's an Amud of Gemara, if it's a Perek of Mishnah, let's see if you could learn it the first time over Shavuos. It has to, not a daf, an Amud. And then learn it every single day for 101 days. And if you're in the building, I want you to come over to me. And if you're not in the building, I want you to call me or send me an email. Tell me today is day 101. And now I can truly say that I'm an Eved Hashem. We should all be Zocha, to have a true Kabbalah HaTorah. Let's pick something. I know it sounds intense, but it's not. It's commitment. And that's what Shavuos is all about.